sin. He was hated by the very men who He had created. Oh yes, brothers and sisters, He who was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. Some of you might remember this. I wasn't alive when it happened, but when I was a boy in school, they showed it to us on the TV screen. Some of you might remember when our country in 1969 put the first man on the moon. And I'm sure you're all familiar with Neil Armstrong's remarks as he stepped foot out of that landing craft and planted his foot on the surface of the moon. He said, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." I'd like to say tonight, brother, there's never been a greater leap made. There's never been a greater step made than when the sovereign Son of God stepped from that place of richness and royalty and came down to a place of beggarliness and dishonor and hatred. There's a gracious, gracious lowering in this text. Oh, brother, but I wish we could get a hold of this tonight. There's a third emphasis set forth. Not only is there a glorious Lord here and a gracious lowering here, but there is a great lifting in this text. Here's the question we got to ask tonight. Why would such a royal one come so low? Why would such a rich one become so poor? We don't have to wonder. The Bible tells us it was for this purpose that ye, through His poverty, might be rich. I've been caught up with these words in this text. I think they teach us two different descriptions of the people for whom Christ became poor. First of all, Jesus did all of this for unworthy people. Unworthy people. Look at these three little words Paul has sandwiched in this verse. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich," watch it, "yet," three words, "for your sake." Who's the "your" in this text? Brothers and sisters, that's you and that's me. Why did Christ come from such a high place to such a low place? It was for your sake. Now, you don't know half the story on how bad I am. And I don't know half the story on how bad you are. But if we're all honest tonight, I believe we could all stand and testify. There's not a one of us worthy of such an action on our behalf. We're messed up, brother. We're broken. We have all sorts of things that we say and do that are displeasing to God. So many things that we think and say that are displeasing to God. As a matter of fact, if we were to take your life, every word you've said, every thought you've thought, everything you've done just over the past week, and were to describe it all out and lay it all out before us tonight, and we could see it in a fashion such as that, we would all understand we are far from worthy of such an action. And yet, Paul tells us that in spite of all of our failures, in spite of all of our shortcomings, in spite of all of our problems, here it is, in spite of all our unworthiness, our Lord Jesus did such a great thing, such as this, for our sakes. Now you say, "Preacher, how do you understand that? How do you describe that? How do you comprehend that?" There's just one word that helps us understand why such a one would do such a thing for such people as you and I. It's grace, grace, grace. The only reason you and I are here tonight is not because we've been better than someone else. We're not here tonight because we've made better choices in life than someone else. We're not here tonight because we deserve this more than someone else. We're here tonight because God, in His free grace, has moved on our life when we did not deserve it. Oh, I say at Thanksgiving, we ought to shout and thank God for all of eternity that God didn't leave us where the devil dropped us, but that in grace He came down to such a low place as we were at and helped us and delivered us and made us who we are in Jesus. I've got some family tonight just like you do. They're lost as a golf ball in short grass. Lost as a duck in a blizzard. And they don't know God from Adam's house cat. And sometimes when I get around them, especially at the holidays, I get to thinking, God, what is the difference? God, we grew up by the same parents, same family members, same godly grandma, same godly grandpa. Lord, we heard the same preaching. We were around the same things. And God, here I am, and I believe the gospel. And I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. And by grace, I'm able to live for the Lord Jesus. And here they are, Lord, lost as can be. They hate God. They hate anything that pertains to God. They might name Him in name, but in their lives, they take His name in vain. They don't know God from Adam, as I said. And I've often thought, Lord, what is the difference between them and me? And I've come to this conclusion, brother. It's not because I was any smarter than them. It's not because I lived any cleaner than them. It's not because I deserved it and they didn't deserve it. I'm here tonight, saved, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven because of God's sweet grace in my life. The old songwriter said, it was the old rugged cross that made the difference for me. I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you forever for a moment feel like you ought to puff your chest up and feel better than somebody else, if you ever drive down the road and see a bum on the sidewalk and you think, shame on them, I'm better than them, you ought to go back to where you were when God found you and understand that if God's free grace had not intervened in your life, you'd be as lost as an Easter egg tonight. Unworthy ones. For your sake. But don't miss this. Not only has this great act been done for unworthy people, oh brother, but it's been done for unable people. Don't miss it. We were unworthy to ascend from such a low place to such a high place. We've been made rich in Jesus, unworthy as we are. But not only were we unworthy to do it, we were unable to do it. In our country, and I thank God that I'm an American. There's not anywhere else in this world I'd rather live. No other place in this world I'd rather raise my children. I thank God I'm an American. You remember, or you know, our country has been a beacon of hope and freedom for people all over the world since its founding. If you are born in India, whatever caste you are born in India, that's the caste you'll die in. There's no way a man in India can ever rise to the top. Wherever he's born in the social ladder, that's where he stays. The same's true even in a country like England. If you're born into that elite group, you're elite. But if you're born just a common, average, everyday person, there's no way, regardless of how hard you work, regardless of how hard you try, you can never climb that ladder and become a nobleman. Oh, brother. But our country's been founded on this premise. And this is why we've got people that come here from all over the world. Our country's been founded on the premise that a man, regardless of the color of his skin, regardless of his family background, regardless of his nation of origin, if he comes here legally, I might add, and he keeps his nose clean, and he does what he's expected to do, and he pays his taxes, and he works hard, and he stays out of trouble with the law, and he's got half a wit about him, he can come in at the bottom, and he can raise himself up to the top. We've called it for years the American dream. But let me say tonight, brothers and sisters, there is no such thing as the American dream when it comes to spiritual realities. When we were born into this world as dead sinners, we were born at the bottom. And because we were dead sinners, there was no way for a man at the bottom ever to get to the top. You get a hold of what I'm saying tonight. When it comes to spiritual truth, there's only one way that a man at the bottom can get to the top. And that's if the man at the top comes all the way down to the bottom and picks the dead sinner up and raises him up with him. I want to say tonight, brothers and sisters, the only way you and I can enjoy the blessings and the richness and the fullness of God's grace in our life is because one day, 2,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus stepped down the starry stairway and He walked into a virgin's womb, was born into this world and became poor that you and I might be made rich in Him. Now what should this do for us tonight? Three things. It ought to help us to understand that because of Jesus, we are a glorious people. Now you don't know it, but you're looking at somebody tonight. And you might not know it, but I'm looking at somebody tonight. While we've been in this little old building worshiping God together, people have drove up and down this road. They ain't thinking a thing about you and me. We're out of sight. We're out of mind. While we've sat here tonight, the planes have flew over our head coming from Atlanta to Chattanooga. And all those people in those planes, they hadn't given a thought about the saints at Old Bethel Baptist Church. I hate to break this news to you, but your politician really don't care for you like he says he cares for you. And I hate to break this news to you, but the world really don't think much of you and me. We're just a bunch of nobodies to the world. We're just a bunch of insignificant people. Oh, but if they could see what we see through the lens of this Scripture, brothers and sisters, my Bible tells me that because of what Jesus has done, we have been made both kings and priests unto our God. Because of what Jesus has done, we've been made joint heirs with Christ. You know what that means? That means anything that's got His name on it, my name's on it too. We've been made an heir of God through faith in His darling Son. We're rich beyond our wildest dreams tonight. You say, preacher, I don't have much money in the bank. You might not have two nickels to rub together. But if you're saved, you're rich in Jesus tonight. You understand that as believers, our real riches are not here. They're not behind us. They're out in front of us. Let me just remind you tonight, if you ever get to feeling poor on yourself, just get to thinking about what God has already got prepared for you on the other side. You might live in a little old shack, but brothers and sisters, if you're saved, our Lord Jesus has a mansion waiting for you. We might walk on busted up concrete down here, but soon one of these days we're going to stroll on streets of clear, perfect gold. Oh, brothers and sisters, I've heard of the land tonight, and I'm headed to that place. I've got a spot reserved, a seat at the table, a door with my name on it this evening. We're rich, rich, rich in the Lord Jesus because of His free grace. And we ought to realize we're a glorious people. We ought to be a grateful people. Every morning when you get up, I've been singing this little song, Preacher Steve. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. Some of you may know of our situation a little bit. When we left the church that I pastored there in Hickson, we didn't have a clue where we were going to live. You say, preacher, that was often real irresponsible of you. No, brother. We wrestled with God. We prayed. We sought God. Fasted. Did everything we knew to do to seek God's will. God said, I want you in full-time evangelism. I said, God, we live in a parsonage. Where are we going to live? Where are my babies going to lay their head down at night? We didn't know. We didn't have a clue. When we left, people were worried about us. I don't blame them. If I'm honest, I might have been worried a time or two myself. God opened up a little place for us. My grandmother's got some property. She's got another little house, little cabin, 600 square feet on the back of her cabin. And for the past 6 months, we've lived in that little 600 square feet. Y'all don't mind me testifying just a minute, do you? We've lived in that little 600 square feet, bumping into each other at every turn. Kids running around like trivet tornadoes, dogs and cats everywhere. Here we are, got our stuff scattered all over the southeast. Half our stuff's in Tennessee, half our stuff's here. We didn't know what we were doing, whether we're coming or going. All we knew was God said go, and He was meeting our needs, and we were grateful for it. Just this past Friday, when we started looking for a house, We were told by three different lenders, you will not purchase a house in the next 2 years. There's no way. And I tell you, we went through process after process, disappointment after disappointment. We thought, are we ever going to have a home of our own again? God sent us to a little fell out in North Carolina. And thank God, what a godsend He was. He worked and worked and worked and found us a loan where we could get a loan for a house. They said it couldn't be done, but brothers, learn this. No equation is complete until God's been factored in. The world said it couldn't be done, but brother, they didn't know the God we served. And just this past Friday, we sat in a little closing office over off Battlefield Parkway and signed papers on our little house. Now, it ain't much. It probably ain't as nice as your house. Probably ain't as big as your house. But brother, it's mine, 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 mine. Mine, mine, mine. Can't nobody take it from me. Can't nobody get it. It's mine, mine, mine. Let me tell you something tonight, brothers and sisters. All week long, I've been walking through that house, counting my blessings. God, I want to thank you for a wife that's healthy. And Lord, it's a plus that she's pretty. Lord, I want to thank you for these healthy babies you've given to me. Thank you for the shoes on my feet. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you for the food on my table. Brothers and sisters, we ought to be grateful. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I didn't work for it. It's all because the High One came down low to make me rich in Himself. Ought to make us a grateful people. And watch it, last thing. It ought to make us a giving people. You realize what Paul's doing? He's saying, Macedonia, turn loose of what was in their hand to help somebody else. He's begging Corinth, I want you to turn loose what's in your hand to help somebody else. And the supreme example of it is that Jesus turned loose of what was in His hand to help somebody else. May God help you and I to have this same grace in us, operating, that we who have been made the recipients of so much might help somebody else who's in need. Our Father, I want to thank you and I want to praise you tonight for your sweet grace in our lives. Lord, in this Thanksgiving season, of all the things we're thankful for, we're thankful most of all for your grace operating in our lives. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for coming. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you, Lord, for taking our lives and making us somebody in Jesus. Now, I pray tonight you'd work this grace in our hearts, work this gratitude in our hearts. May we be thankful in these days. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And Brother Ronnie, won't you?